This is the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
This is indeed the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment. And momentarily, I will welcome our good friend Jim Lawson from Woodbine to talk about what is not just a great day of racing north of the border, it's a great weekend of thoroughbred racing. And we're not going to keep Jim very long in this segment. He just sent me a message and said, hey, when you're ready, give me a call. He has a horse working in 10 minutes that he wants to watch. So not only is Jim Lawson the man steering the ship at Woodbine Entertainment, he's got skin in the game. He's a horseman at heart. And we had the interview set up for this time, but now his horse is working. So, hey, I understand. I get it. We're going to make it quick. He has to watch that workout, and he's with me now here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Jim, good morning.
Morning. Great to be on again. How are you doing today?
Doing wonderful. Happy Woodbine Mile Day. I'm sure you're getting ready. I mentioned that you sent me a message saying your horse is getting ready to work. I'm sure you're anxiously awaiting that moment. Before we get into that, though, tell me about what's happening at Woodbine this weekend.
Oh, wow. Where do I start, Mike? We've got, the mile today with the international and Canadian stakes. We've got four grade one races this weekend, and it's exciting. And the summer and the Natalma on Sunday, in the mile summer, Natalma, all part of the Breeders' Cup winning you're in. So it's action-packed, and it's going to be on NBC Sports, all the grade ones. So it's a fun weekend, and we've got great fields, so I'm really excited.
Yeah, and the three Breeders' Cup win in your ins, including that Rico Woodbine Mile later today, which, as expected, Jim, just a loaded field.
Oh, yeah, you got to love it. Mark, as always, is going to be strong with Olympic Runner in there, who set a new course record on the E.P. Taylor in the King Edward in his last start. So then, boy, oh, boy, Set Piece has just been knocking the lights out down at Saratoga, almost captured the four-star Dave, and how can I even talk without mentioning Raging Bull? And I've got Frankie Dettori in on Raging Bull for Chad. So, man, oh, man, what a race that's going to be. It's exciting.
It's easy to attract connections from not just North America, but from around the world when you have a world-class turf course like that E.P. Taylor turf course that Woodbine offers. It is one of the most beautiful things visually that you will ever see. And I know that so many of the horsemen really appreciate all the work you do in keeping that turf course pristine.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big advantage for us, especially the Europeans love to come with the wide sweeping turn. And I think that our guys, I know our guys do a great job. Interestingly enough, it feels very deep when you walk on it, but when you compare it to our inner turf course, which is like a fairway at the U.S. Open, the other one's worse. The E.P. Taylor looks worse than the rough at the U.S. Open, but the times are consistent and they're beautiful, beautifully kept, both of them. And it sets us apart having those two beautiful turf courses, and we do attract some great runners from around the world to come in, especially for this weekend. And with the three winning you're in, that obviously really helps attract people to come in and try and find their way to the Breeders' Cup.
You touched on some of the star power that's represented in the Woodbine Mile later today, but you also have a lot of star power in that grade one Pattison Canadian International. This is not a win and you're in, but it really should be, Jim. Didn't it used to be a win and you're in years ago?
Yeah, I think at one point, I certainly during my tenure, I believe it was.
Yeah.
It is a tough category, though, Mike. I mean, it's a nice field today, but, there's less and less horses prepared to go a mile and a half, and there's lots of competition that we didn't have before with Kentucky Downs, and it's interesting to try and attract horses every year. And this year, we've got Desert Encounter. As I was preparing for this discussion with you, the first thought that came to mind is horses for courses. Desert Encounter's won twice here and hasn't done that well since winning his last one, but they'll be tough today. And of course, Gadolf and Walton Street, who ran so well in Dubai and most recently in Germany. And Frankie Dettori, again, is going to ride for Charles Appleby. So it's a nice field. And we've got some nice local horses, including Belichick. And it will be a competitive field today in the Pattison. And so there's star power all day today. And tomorrow, we haven't got to that yet, but I know you'll ask about tomorrow. It's the real star power in the two grade one, 2 year old turf races tomorrow.
Yeah, I can tell you, as a diehard Pittsburgh Steelers fan, I will be cheering against Belichick. My sincere apologies to Josie Carroll and the Connections, but I cannot cheer for a horse named Belichick. I'm sorry.
We get that. Yeah.
Absolutely. Jim Lawson, the Woodbine CEO, with me here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Jim, just let me know when you have to go to watch your horse train. I don't want to keep you from that. But you did mention tomorrow, two grade ones, two winning your ends, the Natama, the summer, fantastic program tomorrow too.
Yeah, it really is. Those two races, again, have been just great stepping stones into the Breeders' Cup as winning your ends, but a nice chance to go over that turf course. Once again, Mr. Cassie, he's sending out four runners in each race, but we've got Bobby Flay, the horse, Pizza Bianca, coming in, making a second start after a big race in July in Saratoga, and Joel Rosario is riding for Christophe Clement, and then there's just a ton of nice horses in there. That's in the Natalma, then the Summer Stakes. Shug McGaughey is sending out Dripping Gold, who won his debut on August 7th at Saratoga, with Rosario riding, and Godolphin, again, is going to be fairly prominent this weekend with Frankie Dettori in the saddle, is sending out Al Barr, who's won three in a row and has staked most recently in England. So it's just both of those races are pick-ems. I think anyone can win those races. These horses are making their second and third starts, and it's coming from all different tracks, and it's going to be a real interesting and great betting race, both in the Natalma and the Summer Stakes tomorrow. So very exciting.
Yeah, what a weekend. And you throw in the carryover and the mandatory payout in the Jackpot High 5 wager, and that's going to add a lot of intrigue for the bettors too.
Yeah, certainly the jackpot today is a $300,000 carryover, and it's a mandatory payout in race 12 today. So wagering is going to be awfully strong today. Then we've got a series of two pick fives today and a couple of pick fours, all with guarantees. And we're looking forward to the wagering today, and should be big fields all day long. We've got 12 races on today and 11 tomorrow. So what an action-packed weekend. And you, as I said, Mike, you can see it on NBC Sports, the grade one. So what a weekend for us. And you can hear the excitement in my voice. And here I am at the backstretch this morning, and it's a beautiful day here. The turf courses will be firm. It's sunny and nice temperature. So it's just the way you'd hope.
Nobody paints a picture like Jim Lawson up at Woodbine. Fantastic stuff. Jim, tell me a little bit about the horse that's getting ready to work for you.
Yeah, I'm excited about him. He's a Liam's Map colt named Stronger Together. He was in a maiden special weight a couple of weeks ago, and he didn't break well, and was about 12 lengths coming last into the stretch, and he came charging and lost by a neck in a maiden special weight. And he's Canadian bred, so we're going to go right to the Cup and Saucer with him on October the 10th, which is a $250,000 race for Canadian breds. And he's working on the turf this morning and just waiting for his jockey, Justin Stein, to arrive to work him five furlongs on the turf, training turf this morning. So that'll be fun. So it's nice to hopefully have a good one. Everyone who's in the industry appreciates how tough it is. So if you get one that looks like you can run, it's fun.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of fun. How many horses do you own now?
I always qualify this by saying including the mares and the weanlings and the yearlings, about 18. But I've got I've got a couple of nice ones. I do have one in the Natalma tomorrow, and I think she'll be competitive. Horse named Philly name is Cassie's training her, and she will compete. She was coming on strong at the end of 6.5 furlongs in the Catch a Glimpse, chasing Diabolic, who she trains with, and Diabolic's going to be the favorite or co-favorite, and so she should be competitive. I think she'll run well tomorrow in the Natalma. So it's exciting weekend all the way around, both for me as CEO of Woodbine, but also as an owner. So it's fun.
Jim, we had some fun talking about Belichick moments ago, and I mentioned that there's no way I could cheer for a horse named Belichick. I may have to start cheering for the Ottawa Red Blacks, though, up in the Canadian Football League, because it was announced that they just signed former Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Duck Hodges. So the Duck is flying north to Canada.
Yeah, I saw that. But the Duck, you know, the Red Blacks are taking on my Hamilton Tiger Cats. Now that I'm no longer the chair of the Canadian Football League, I've gone back to my allegiances with Hamilton. And Hamilton takes on Ottawa on Wednesday night after 4 days rest. But we'll see. It's always fun. Ottawa has struggled, so they certainly may be able to use Duck. They've had a tough year so far.
Yeah, Duck season in play for the Hamilton Tiger Cats.
Yes.
Jim, I'll let you. Yeah, I'll let you go enjoy the morning and watch the workout. And really appreciate the visit. Always fun to spend some time with you, my friend. Enjoy the weekend.
Really fun to be on. Thanks. Take care and enjoy the racing this weekend.
All right. Jim Lawson, CEO of Woodbine Entertainment. Just fantastic. And as I mentioned, not only is he steering the ship at Woodbine, but he has skin in the game. And you can hear it in his voice. He mentioned that. You know, his passion, his enthusiasm, his excitement for this sport, it really does come through. And what a weekend that's going to be. He mentioned the fact that the races, the grade ones, will be on NBC this weekend, and you'll want to make sure you tune in to that coverage, which is always fantastic. And, and watch those races, bet on those races. They're competitive. You have horses coming from all over North America and from all over the world. And the connections he mentioned, Frankie Dettori and Godolphin, and then Bobby Flay, Pizza Bianca, and the Natalma. So many top horses will be making what they hope will be a step toward the Breeders' Cup, whether it's in the win-in-your-ins or it's not in one of the win-in-your-in races. I mean, 12 races today, 11 more tomorrow, graded stakes galore, and then the 3 win-in-your-ins. And according to HRN Nation, it's going to be Set Play who punches his ticket to the Breeders' Cup in the Woodbine Mile. I think I said Set Play, Set Piece. 43% of you saying it will be Set Piece in today's Woodbine Mile. Keep the votes coming in, and I'll update them later in the show. When I come back, it's time for this week's edition of Unsung Heroes, presented by Claiborne. It's one you won't want to miss. And then we'll turn our attention to Churchill Downs as I visit with Darren Rogers to go down the road to the Breeders' Cup at 9:40. 10 o'clock, it's In the Room with Sean Clancy, his one-on-one jockey-to-jockey conversation this week with jockey Jack Gilligan. Kurt Becker's stroll through racing history, still to come at 10:25. And at 10:30, this week's edition of I Ask, They Answer with Dale Romans and Tim Wilkin. Man, is that going to be fun. It's all ahead. This is the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on HRRN.
After an unprecedented year apart, the time has finally come to say, welcome back, fans, to the Breeders' Cup World Championships. Welcome back to the prestige and excitement to witnessing history firsthand. As the world's most majestic athletes look to be crowned champion in 14 thrilling Breeders' Cup races. And over $31 million in purses and awards waits across the finish line. On November 5th and 6th at Del Mar, the Breeders' Cup will welcome it all back. The world's best thoroughbreds, the brightest stars, and the most passionate fans. An experience that's a breed apart. Tickets on sale now at BreedersCup.com/tickets.
Live racing is back at Churchill Downs September 16th through October 3rd with the same strong purses back from summer and four new stakes races, you won't want to miss live racing at Churchill Downs. With the win in your end Grade 3 Iroquois, a Derby points race, and Grade 3 Pocahontas, an Oaks points race on September 18th, plus the new Bourbon Trail, Louisville Thoroughbred Society, Harrods Creek, and Seneca Stakes, this September meet is sure to be full of excitement. For more racing information and to get your tickets today, visit ChurchillDowns.com.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
King Curlin is coming with strong strides on the far outside. Grail to catch. King Curlin on the outside up into second. Grail, King Curlin, and Midhurst. It's going to be Grail. And Adam skits it to win it by two.
Grail, the two-year-old son of Darley stallion Astern, scored in that competitive maiden specialweight race at Kentucky Downs on Saturday. That's a winning effort that makes him your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Astern, Medaglia d'Oro's fastest son at stud. Grail became the sixth winner for freshman sire Astern, who already has three black type horses from his first crop, including TDN Rising Star Mainstay, plus Del Mar debut maiden specialweight winner Brandon's My Lawyer, a $340,000 OBS two-year-old. Learn more about Astern and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
This is jockey Julian Lepau, and you're listening to HRRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Heroes in the world of sports are not uncommon. Oftentimes, thrusting themselves into the limelight through unimaginable feats.
Back behind the ball, Woods puts it.
And in! He has done it! Tiger is back! Tiger is back on top. Tiger Woods, the 2019 Masters Champion.
And breathtaking performances.
Here's how you count to eight, three, two, one. And for the eighth time, college basketball's national championship trophy is coming home to Kentucky.
But behind every great hero, there are others. Individuals who play a crucial role in the achievements of those we read about in the headlines. The ultimate team players. Content to stand behind the curtain, embracing their place as a vital part of a sport's success. In horse racing, these are the unsung heroes.
Well, these are indeed the unsung heroes, and there are so many unsung heroes in the sport of thoroughbred racing, from grooms and exercise riders and assistant trainers and starting gate crew members and track superintendents, and so many people that work at the farms who make this sport a success. People you never hear about, you never read about them in the headlines and in many stories, but without them, we don't have an industry. And that's what this segment, Unsung Heroes, is designed to do, to recognize those individuals. And I want to recognize a very special individual today. That is Marvin Navis Prado, who was working at Ellis Park on August 22nd when the receiving barn burst into flames. There were six horses and one pony in the barn at the time. And Marvin, without even thinking, rushed in to rescue those horses. And it's an incredible story. Marvin does not speak English well. So trainer Michael Ann Ewing is with me now on this edition of Unsung Heroes to talk more about Marvin and what he did on that day at Ellis Park. Michael, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Mike. Nice to be here.
You know, Marvin is what, you know, he epitomizes what it means to be an unsung hero. And what he did on that morning of August 22nd is nothing short of remarkable.
He's a hero. I mean, to me, he's a hero because, and of course, you know, Marvin has, it's not, he has no relationship to me in terms of my horse was in the receiving barn. And, you know, not that I suppose that would mean anything, but I mean, he just ran in without thinking. And because he happened to be up cleaning stalls and working early, and he saved all those horses, seven horses, six horses and a pony. And I understand that the receiving barn went up in flames pretty darn quickly because he was right there. And you know, he was whipping horses out, and he had some other grooms helping him who were outside the barn, and then took the horses and ran to find a place for them, a loose stall or an empty stall somewhere. And he went right down the row. Bossy was the last to get out, but the only horse to get burned. So that tells you how fast that fire went, because he was there pretty much Johnny on the spot, and never thought about it. And these are unsung heroes, because these guys work so hard. They show up every day. They love their horses. They don't get enough notice on a daily basis for what they do, because in racing, in my view, it's a team. It's not just your trainer. It's not just one person. It's your groom is the first person that sees a horse in the morning, and he's the most intimate with that horse. In other words, he's got four or five horses, so he spends all his day with those five, whereas your trainer is spreading it out between 20, 30, 50, 150, whatever. You know, some trainers only see their horses, you know, a couple times a month, and it's the assistant. But even then, the assistant, you know, has 50 or 60 or whatever. Those grooms are the first ones to run and say, hey, you know, my horse isn't right. Hey, I noticed this morning when I was taking those bandages off, before your assistant even looks at the horse or a foreman or whatever. So they're the ones when they know their horse isn't eating and isn't looking good. And for people to discount what they do is just ridiculous, because they are so important. And it did turn out, funny story, that Marvin is the brother of Maro, who works for me. So that is kind of a small world. Wow. But without Marvin, I mean, all those horses, you know, you could have looked the other way and say you didn't see the fire.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, our good friend Jenny Reese wrote a piece that appeared a few days after the fire, and it was a piece that focused on Marvin and what he did. And as you were reading it, just the magnitude of his sacrifices immediately came to mind, because as he was running into the fire, he thought about his wife, who is 7 months pregnant with their first child, and he thought, what happens to them if something happens to me? But yet he continued on into the fire to rescue the horses. And then after he did that, he went back to work cleaning stalls for the horses that are in the care of trainer Eddie Keneally, who he works for. It's just an amazing story.
It is. And actually, I believe the baby had just been born, and she's in NICU. I'm not sure if she still is, but she was early. So it was that added stress of wanting to be there with his wife and new daughter, who is, I understand, now the language barrier is a little difficult, but I understand she's going to be fine. But, you know, she is early. She was a couple months early, and it's his first child, and, you know, that excitement and all. But he's still showing up for work every day. And then, you know, he's driving all the way to Louisville from Ellis Park to be in the afternoons with his wife in the evenings and coming back. And sure, he jumped in knowing, you know, now he's got this new baby and this wife that really needs him. But he didn't hesitate, because there's a great love for horses there and a feeling for any animal. I mean, you know, but they're definitely a hero. And he jumped right in. I don't think he even thought second about it. And Ellis Park was really great to recognize him and the other gentleman that helped him. But it's a great thing you're mentioning it now, Mike, because they are unsung heroes every day. And this particular day, he was really put himself in harm's way to save these horses. And I'm particularly thankful, because I have a recovering horse who will be fine, but the outcome could have been just disastrous, obviously. And he got her out quick enough that, you know, she didn't suffer any smoke inhalation. I mean, we were lucky on that end. And, you know, we're treating some burns, but she'll recover. And but I just think about the outcome for any of those horses. You hear about barn fires, although not frequent, they do happen. And I mean, you ask yourself, what would I do in that situation? Would I be brave enough to run into a burning barn?
Yeah.
You know, you do think about your loved ones that you have a responsibility to, or I think you would. But I don't think he just sees animals in need, and that was it. He was in there.
Yeah, visiting with trainer Michael Ann Ewing here on this edition of Unsung Heroes presented by Claiborne and honoring Marvin Navis Prado. Again, Marvin does not speak English well, so Michael Ann, very kind to do this with me this morning and to recognize him for his act of bravery in that barn fire at Ellis Park back in August. And you mentioned the name Bold and Bossy, and that is a two-year-old filly who is in your care, but also a filly that took you on quite a ride after the post parade earlier in their meet too, and ran off the track and down the interstate. Tell me about that.
Well, yes, she did. She took us on quite a ride. She disappeared, jumped the track rail. Outriders couldn't catch her. Went on, didn't stop in the barn area, went through the big levee and out onto the highway there. I think it's 41 that runs in front of Ellis Park. And at one point, some of those chasing her said she actually got onto the big interstate and then did a U-turn and came off. It was 30, 35 minutes before they found her and caught her. And she ran and ran and ran, ran out of her shoes, by the way, on that hot pavement, and just took us for a big chase. So interestingly, Mike, thank God she was not hit by a truck or a car or hit by someone and killed, and then they were hurt. But
yeah.
She showed up back in the barn. I mean, certainly she was terribly dehydrated, and we had to treat her for that and so on. But it was that night. We left her overnight. Normally, we would ship to Ellis and come home. And we would have come home with her. But she was so dehydrated, we thought, let's be smart and leave her overnight because it's the best thing for her. Let her settle comfortably, and we'll leave in the cool of the morning and come home. But that not, who would know that that morning, probably 2 hours before we were going to leave, she was in that barn fire. So... You just can't write that stuff, how unlucky she was. But lucky, she was not, you know, harmed irreversibly on her big trip down the road, nor thanks to our savior, Mr. Prado.
Yeah.
She got out, it was just a crazy time. It was a crazy ride. But, that barn fire could have just ended it for her. And it did not. And she'll recover. So we're just so grateful to Martin. So grateful.
Yeah, we are honoring Marvin Navis Prado this morning as this week's unsung hero. But he wasn't alone. And as quite often happens in a situation like this, he had help and assistance. And there were other fellow Keneally grooms, Cristobal Munoz and Estuardo Godoy, and I hope I said his name correctly, Brendan Walsh's grooms, Salvador Hernandez and Jose Garcia, were also involved in the act of getting the stable pony out and the six horses that were in there. So it's it takes a team effort, but Marvin Navis Prado certainly the man who was at the front of this charge and burst into that barn that was in flames and rescued the horses, and it's so many people so thankful, and he is a true unsung hero this morning.
Eddie Keneally must feel lucky that he works for him. he must be just a terrific employee, as are all the other gentlemen that jumped in and helped. Because, you know, you can't, I mean, I suppose if there was nothing, you can't just turn them loose, you know, get them out of the barn, and then they'll probably run back in. So you've got to find a safe spot for them really quickly and return to get those up. So it was a coordinated effort, but they're all heroes, and Marvin in particular. So I'm very grateful. And you're nice to honor them. They don't get enough attention.
Well, Michael, I appreciate the visit this morning. Thank you for being here to recognize these individuals. And I'm glad that everything is good with Bold and Bossy, and we'll look forward to seeing her back on the track soon.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
All right. Thanks, Michael Ann Ewing. The trainer of Bold and Bossy, and you heard her tell that story about the horse getting loose and then running down the interstate, and so many of you saw that picture in the video and all of those things that were out there. And Michael Ann Ewing is the trainer of that horse. And Bolden Bossy, also one of the horses that was involved in that barn fire. But, yeah, Marvin Navis Prado, a true unsung hero, as are all of the other grooms that were involved in rescuing those horses. And our thanks on the part of this industry and horse owners across the country and across the world, thank you to them for doing what they do each and every day. You are all unsung heroes. I'll be back in 30 seconds right after this word from Claiborne.
Undefeated Grade 1 winner Mastery was a multiple graded stakes winner at two, including this victory in the Los Alamitos Cash Call Futurity. At three, he sizzled in the San Felipe Stakes. Now his progeny are bringing top dollar in the sales ring.
$450,000.
Internet buys, $510,000. Thank you.
An exciting young stallion, Mastery, standing at Claiborne Farm.
This sport is filled with unsung heroes, and it is a true privilege to be able to recognize those individuals on this segment. My thanks to Claiborne for making this possible every other week on the show here. And if you know somebody that you feel deserves to be recognized as an unsung hero in the sport of thoroughbred racing, you can nominate them today. And all you have to do is email their story to me, mike@horseracingradio.net. Let me know you feel that this person is an unsung hero and why you think that's the case. And I will do my best to recognize them during these unsung hero segments in the weeks and the months to come. All right. When I come back, we turn our attention to Churchill Downs in Louisville, Kentucky, as I welcome in their director of communications, Darren Rogers, to go down the road to the Breeders' Cup. This is the Equine Forum presented by Woodbine Entertainment on HRRN.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 33 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in the state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Hey everyone, it's the Baron with this week's North of the Border report presented by Woodbine Entertainment. It's a weekend filled with Grade A, Grade Ones at the Toronto Oval, and it's no surprise that dual Hall of Fame conditioner Mark Cassie will find himself squarely in the spotlight. Cassie, a two-time winner of the Rico Woodbine Mile with Teppan in 2016 and World Approval in 2017, sends out the talented trio of March to the Arch, Olympic Runner, and Ride a Comet in today's Grade 1 event, part of a stellar Saturday Stakes showcase that also includes the Grade 1 $600,000 Pattison Canadian International and Grade 2 $250,000 Canadian Stakes. But it doesn't stop there. On Sunday, Woodbine will play host to a pair of juvenile stakes, both Grade 1s, the Grade 1 Summer and Grade 1 Natalma. The 25th running of the mile later today is worth $1 million and will be contested over the world-renowned E.P. Taylor Turf Course, and it's attracted a strong field of 10 hopefuls. Part of the Breeders' Cup Win and You're In Challenge Series, the Woodbine Mile winner will be entitled to a fees-paid berth in the $2 million Breeders' Cup Mile to be run on November 6th at Del Mar. Today's outstanding Woodbine Mile program features that Grade 2 Canadian Stakes, which is part of the Ladies of the Lawn series in support of Rethink Breast Cancer. And on the wagering side, well, Woodbine will offer a mandatory payout for the Jackpot High Five later today with a carryover of more than $299,000. That Jackpot High Five wager will conclude with the final race later today. Post time today is 1:10 p.m., and that's your North of the Border report for this Saturday morning. For more updates and racing information, visit Woodbine.com or follow along on Twitter at WoodbineTB.
Hi, this is Calvin Burrow. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
It's still Lemonade at the Latch in Mondo Gold. These two are stride for stride as Red Knobs moves an ever closer third. Still six back to Horse Daddy. Top of the home stretch. 3/16 to go. 3/4, 1/12 and 2, and here they come. It's Mondo Gold from between horses, but Red Knobs has the momentum to the outside, and here comes Red Knobs on the stretch out. Strikes the front outside the 16th pole. It is Red Knobs who's drawn away here. Mondo Gold back in his second. Lemonade at the Latch third. Down to the wire. Red Knobs gets it done here. It looks like Lemonade at the Latch was second, Horse Daddy third, And he's an angel, checked in fourth, running time 137 and four.
Welcome back. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, with you on the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on this Saturday morning. That was Red Knobs winning a maiden special weight event at Ellis Park on August 20th for trainer Dale Romans. Red Knobs is 20-1 on the morning line in today's Iroquois at Churchill Downs. Getting no respect after that maiden win. Is going to have to improve. Going to have to run better. But no trainer has won, well, almost no trainer has won more renewals of the Iroquois than Dale Romans. He's won it on four occasions, including the last two, with Dennis's Moment in 2019, Sitting on Go last year. He is tied with four wins in the Iroquois with Hall of Famer Bill Mott. Pretty good company there. And Dale will look to pull off a bit of an upset later today in that Iroquois. It's a great card at Churchill Downs. The Iroquois, a win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. And you're going to hear more from Dale Romans coming up later in the program as he joins me along with turf writer Tim Wilkin for this week's edition of I Ask, They Answer. We will debate several topics coming up at 10:30 Eastern. But now it is time to go down the road to the Breeders' Cup.
It's time to go down the road to the Breeders' Cup.
Well, with two winning your in races on the Saturday program at Churchill, there is nobody I would rather talk to right now than Darren Rogers, the Director of Communications at Churchill Downs. He is with me to go down the road to the Breeders' Cup. Darren, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm great. I'm really looking forward to this program later today. And those juvenile races, those juvenile stakes are always so much fun, aren't they?
Well, they really are. You know, I love this launch of the road to the Kentucky Derby. It's also, you know, a Breeders' Cup win and you're in. But the first points race, and, you know, you never know what stars are going to take that big step forward. That's what makes two-year-old racing so exciting. You know, this is our future. Their future, you know, stars on the track, their future stallions. It's a great time of the year.
Yeah, it certainly is. And what a program today it is at Churchill Downs. 11 races, 5 stakes, 2 are win in your ends, as we just mentioned. Darren, I guess we'll start with those. Actually, you know what? Before we get into the races, I want to talk to you about something else. I want to talk to you about what happened earlier this week with the statue, two statues actually, Matt Wynn and John Asher. They are sitting there as if they're having a conversation together, and what a way to honor the late John Asher.
Yeah, it really was a wonderful day. We did it on Thursday at 11 a.m., and, you know, this was in the making for a while. We knew we wanted to honor both individuals, but no two people have, you know, lived, breathed, promoted 24/7. Churchill Downs and the Kentucky Derby more than Colonel Matt Wynn, who was on hand, you know, at Churchill from 1914 to 1949 as the general manager and president. He made the Derby what it is today, America's greatest race. And then John Asher, who was the voice and face of Churchill Downs and the Kentucky Derby for, you know, at Churchill Downs, it was, you know, 25 years, but even beforehand, when he was with WHAS 11, radio, he'd been doing it for about 40 years. He just lived and breathed it, and he idolized Matt Wynn. So the conversation of the statues in the paddock, it came to light. It's clear that Matt Wynn is talking and John Asher is listening. And I thought Kevin Flannery, our former president, said it best. It's Matt Wynn, you know, created the stories, and John Asher is the storyteller, reliving that history. So it's a great tribute to both men. I love it.
Yeah, it looked to me as if John was waiting for Matt Wynn to finish his statement, because I could see John just itching to say, "I'm telling you, Colonel, it's always 75 and sunny on Derby Day."
I don't care if it's a sloppy track. It's sunny at 75.
Yeah, what a beautiful tribute that is, and well done. Kudos to the entire team at Churchill Downs who was part of putting this together. It's a wonderful way to remember both gentlemen, and we'll get a chance to be reminded of them every time we see those statues now when we're at Churchill Downs. Darren Rogers, Director of Communications, with me on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Darren, where do you want to start? You want to start with the two big ones, the two win-in-your-ins. There are three graded stakes, as a matter of fact, but two of those are win-in-your-ins. You want to start there? You want to start with the earlier stakes? What do you want to do?
Wherever you want to go. I love talking Derby. I love talking win-in-your-ins, so let's start with that Iroquois.
All right, let's do it. How do you see that one today?
Well, I think it was interesting that, well, first of all, I love that you brought up Red Knobs for Dale Romans. You know, Dale won two races at Churchill Downs on Friday. When Dale starts, you know, it hasn't been the greatest year for him. But when one thing I've noticed over the years, when Dale Romans starts putting wins together, he starts winning them in bunches. And so that's a very positive sign. Red Knobs is going to have to get faster. But then Steve Asmussen trained Stellar Tap. You know, of course, I gave him his record 9,446th win at Saratoga, but I thought it was very appropriate. You know, what underrated that day was that horse is a very, very nice horse. Son of Tappet out of a Medalla de Oro mare, and I think Stellar Tap is that type of horse that is going to improve and get better as the distances get longer.
How did he get off at almost 6-1 at Saratoga in his debut?
That's it, Saratoga. I mean, there's steamers all around at Saratoga.
Yeah, yeah, especially with what was at stake with Steve Asmussen. You had to think, okay, the public would be betting the heck out of his horses, thinking he's going to eclipse that mark, and somehow this horse gets off at almost 6-1 and wins like a good thing, and now we'll stretch out in the Iroquois. Outside of that horse, is it Stellar Tap and everybody else, or are there a few others that you'll have your eye on?
Oh, well, obviously, look, these are very promising horses. You know, Major General for Todd Pletcher, sending that horse here is a very encouraging sign, especially with Javier Castellano coming in to ride. You know, Asmussen's other horse, Guntown, looked intriguing to me. That was a very nice win at Ellis Park. I thought it was one of the better wins at Ellis. I just think Stellar Tap is one of those types of horses. He's going to be able to be forwardly placed, stretching out, and I just don't see Steve Asmussen-type horses that back up and get short strides when they're forwardly placed, if you know what I mean. They're always usually in the fight. And this horse just looks like I'm a big fan of Stellar Tap. I really am. I think this is going to be a very nice horse, not only this year, but next spring as well.
You know, earlier in the program, I talked with Dave Rodman talking about the DeFrancis Memorial Dash taking place at Laurel later today. And he talked about Uriah St. Louis, who trains one of the contenders in there. And he said, you know, he's never afraid to take a shot in a big race. Well, Ian Wilkes really isn't either, and he's sending out number 11 Bourbon Heist in the Iroquois for Bourbon Lane Stable. He's still a maiden. He's 0-3, but he's been runner-up in close seconds in each of his last two. Do you give Bourbon Heist any kind of a shot?
Yeah, I do, and he's fast enough too, right? I mean, and he's going to have to, you know, stretch out. But I take it a little differently comparing it to Uriah St. Louis. Ian Wilkes isn't always that aggressive shot taker, but when he is in a spot, that means he thinks this horse belongs. So here you have a maiden being thrown into deep water. That doesn't seem like something that Ian Wilkes usually does. So it's very encouraging. The horse is fast enough. You know, he's 9-2 on the morning line. I think he'll be a little larger than that, but the horse, not much, but I would use him in the mix. I think this horse can compete, absolutely. Son of Practical Joke, out of Elusive Quality. He does draw wide in the 11 hole, but, you know, I think this is the type of horse that is worth a look at a price.
Well, all of those contenders in the Iroquois are going to be hoping to return to Churchill Downs. Of course, punched your ticket to the Breeders' Cup and then returned to Churchill Downs on the first Saturday in May in 2022 for the Run for the Roses. The ladies in the Grade 3 Pocahontas, the two-year-old fillies, will look to punch their ticket to the juvenile fillies at Del Mar and then get back to Churchill Downs for the day before the Kentucky Derby next year for the Kentucky Oaks. And this is another really solid field in the Pocahontas.
Well, it really is. And how good was Hidden Connection down at Colonial Downs for Brett Calhoun? I mean, that was a fast race. You know, it's the filly out of Connect. Connect seems to be an interesting first crop sire. And the horse just was a monster and ran big. You know, going to have to go an additional 3 furlongs today, going from 5.5 to 8.5. I think the race starts and goes through there under Ray Lou Gutierrez, and I would fully expect the horse to go right to the front.
Yeah, solid price, too. 9-2 on the morning line on Hidden Connection.
Yeah, if we get that in the end, right?
Yeah.
You know, we'll see.
Well, it depends on how heavily you smoke it in.
Absolutely. No, it really is.
Firing with both fists.
I don't know how much I'm going to be firing on this, but I do think that the horse is got a very live shot at a fast pace, a fast figure. And then you've got, you know, on the outside, I thought another fast winner. You know, this horse won at Indiana Grand, but Joy Runner, who's 10-1 on the morning line for Mattress Mack, Laurel Wallace, and it's a gun runner, by the way. Won by 8.25 lengths. That was a fast race. Again, going to have to stretch out. You know, I don't see why a gun runner wouldn't improve, but Joy Runner also very intriguing. This is an interesting little race.
How about the favorite on the ones and twos from the barn of Norm Cassie, who was second in the debutante 2 starts back and then 6th in the Grade 2 Adirondack? 5-2 on the morning line. Do you see on the ones and twos as a major player? Or it kind of sounds like maybe you think that we can play against this one.
No, I think you'd have to use. I mean, I'm not sure if I would want to bet on the ones and twos at a short price and back it with such confidence based on the last effort in the Adirondack. But she's the class of the race. If she runs anywhere back to her first 2 outings, she's going to be a major player in here. But the last race was disappointing, and I just wouldn't want to take a short price on the ones and twos. But if I'm using, for example, a pick 4 or a pick 5, I'm absolutely going to include.
All right, well, that's the Pocahontas. It's race number 8. Again, the Iroquois race number 9 at Churchill Downs. It's going to be a fantastic, Saturday program. Saturday night racing under the lights. That's always fun, Darren.
Well, it really is, and tonight I think it's going to be extra fun. The University of Louisville, their version of a Midnight Madness is known as Louisville Live. In previous years, they've had it at the KFC Yum Center downtown. They've had it also on 4th Street Live. We're bringing it to Churchill Downs, right in the plaza area. And so in between races throughout the evening, you're going to have three-point contests, slam dunk contest, the 1986 Louisville Men's National Basketball Championship team is going to be on hand, the women's team and this year's team, and plus other special alumni guests. I wouldn't be surprised if, like, a Donovan Mitchell maybe showed up, something like that. It'll be fun.
Wow.
It's going to be a great, great night to go along with the excellent racing. I mean, we've got more than $2 million up for grabs this evening with those 5 stakes races plus 6 overnights. I mean, it's a great 11-race program.
You know, the money for racing in Kentucky now is so good, and certainly we saw it at Kentucky Downs and over at Ellis Park, and Churchill has just continued to every year add more and more and more. And it's, you know, the horsemen are loving it. You're getting full fields. The racing's been fantastic over the past couple of seasons. And, you know, it continues just to get better every year, Darren.
It does. And it's, you know, fueled by that Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund, which has been aided by the historical horse racing, and it's been so important for Kentucky racing, and has led the growth. And right now, I mean, did you ever think you'd see the day where you would leave Saratoga and you would have, you know, racing that where the purses of the month of September were larger in Kentucky? I mean, it's just, yeah. So it's great. You know, we're going through the turf course, redevelopment and redesign. And so it's a little bit of a strain on the racing office when you can't card turf racing. But so far through the, you know, first four or five draws of the 12-day September meet, the racing has been strong. And that's whenever you have a good pot to run for, that's usually the case.
Talking with Darren Rogers, the Director of Communications at Churchill Downs. About 3 minutes left here, Darren, before we have to get to a commercial break. Any other horses that you'll have your eye on in any of the other stakes or any of the other races that are coming up on this program later tonight?
Well, let's just focus on the stars of the show. I mean, She Dares the Devil, going to get a chance to, you know, run for her last preparation to the Breeders' Cup Distaff in the Locust mm-hmm. Grove. You've got an outstanding showdown of, I think, two of the most competitive filly and mare sprinters in the nation, going in the Open Mind with Bell's the One in Wisconsin, and then Bango is a streaking sprinter who has just gotten so good for trainer Greg Foley, looking for his seventh Churchill Downs victory in the inaugural Louisville Thoroughbred Society, which is a nice sprint for 3-year-olds and up. So it's just an outstanding card. I love it when we have quality horses running, and you definitely have that this evening at Churchill Downs. First of the 11 races gets underway at 6:00 Eastern. And by the way, the one thing I want to say tonight, and I know it's very important for a lot of people that like to watch the races, you know, Churchill Downs Races is on America's Day of the Races in conjunction with the New York Racing Association. And the broadcast today on FS2 and FS1, they go until 7:30 tonight. That's only the first four races. If you have a smart TV and if you have a Fire Stick, Amazon, Roku, Apple TV, be sure to download the Churchill Downs Live, Churchill Downs Live app, and you can watch the Churchill Downs simulcast signal in your home free of charge, HD. You've got other camera angles as well you can choose from. It's a great way to take in the races, not just this evening, but throughout the year.
Yeah, we'll also encourage people to head over to Twin Spires if they want to go ahead yep. and make wagers on those races tonight. Of course, the official betting partner of the Kentucky Derby and a longtime partner with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And we even have a Wager Now button at the top of our homepage, horseracingradio.net, where you can click on the Wager Now button and bet with Twin Spires. So easy love ways it. To do it there.
Love it, love it, love it.
Darren, listen, man, enjoy the night. It's always fun to catch up, and really look forward to the great card coming up here on Saturday night.
Absolutely, Michael. You know how many days, right? 231 days. 231 the Derby.
They're going to go quickly.
It's going quick. We'll see you later. Okay, pal.
Thanks, buddy. Darren Rogers, Director of Communications at Churchill, going down the road to the Breeders' Cup this morning here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm going to get to another break. When I come back, I'll take a quick look at some historical dates in racing history and get you ready for hour number three. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
The National HBPA is continuously working to protect the health and welfare of horses by advocating and funding research to help reduce equine injuries, lobbying for a national testing lab to oversee and establish absolute uniform laboratory protocols, advocating for every track to undergo an annual independent surface assessment, passionately supporting off-the-track thoroughbred retirement facilities and adoption groups, and so much more. See additional HBPA initiatives at nationalhbpa.com.
And now an important message from Jerry Rice.
As a career wide receiver, I've been hit hard. But no training nor practice prepared us for the devastation of COVID-19. Thankfully, there is hope. Even with multiple vaccines available, we still have to work together until everyone is safe. We all win when we unite to prevent.
For more information, visit unitetoprevent.org.
Did you know half of all cats in the United States don't see a vet on a regular basis? Hi, I'm Kat Dennings, and I love cats. Like, really, really love them. Seriously. That's why I'm here to ask you to take your cat to the vet each and every year. I'm working with Royal Canin and Orphan Kitten Club in their program, Mighty Cat, the first grant program in the world to protect and care for newborn kittens. For the Take Your Cat to the Vet initiative, which encourages cat owners across the country to schedule annual vet visits. Since it's tricky to decode our cat's behavior, it is super important to collaborate with your veterinarian to uncover any potential illnesses and learn the signs that something could be wrong. As pet owners, it is our responsibility to make sure cats of all ages have a chance to live a full and happy life by providing the care they need and deserve. Visit orphankittenclub.org/mightycat to learn more.
Get to know the men and women who make this sport go on Trainer Talk, presented by Facig Tipton. Mike Pena sits down with Hall of Famers, up-and-comers, and everyone in between with an intimate conversation that goes beyond the X's and O's. Hear their stories every Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern on Sirius 219 XM 201 or streaming live at horseracingradio.net. It's the show that trainers listen to. Trainer Talk, presented by Facig Tipton, only on HRRN.
This is trainer Chad Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
All right, a busy third hour set to come your way. I'll tell you more about that in just a minute. But as I do every week in this segment, I want to take a look back at some memorable dates in racing history. And it was on September 18th, 1920, carrying the top weight of his career. How about this? 138 pounds. That three-year-old man of war won the Potomac Handicap. He conceded 24 pounds to his nearest rival, Paul Jones, and 30 pounds to the second-place finisher, Wild Air. Yeah, just don't see that anymore. September 18, 1943, the U.S. Army occupied the grounds of Hollywood Park as part of the war effort. And on this day in 1999, jockey David Gall retired as the fourth winningest rider of all time with 7,396 victories to his credit. David Gall, by the way, not in the Hall of Fame. Pretty remarkable. All right, two-thirds of the way home on today's Equine Forum. Coming up next, we'll talk with Sean Clancy as he goes in the room with jockey Jack Gilligan. Plenty more to come. Stay with me. Right after I pause, 10 seconds for station identification. This is HRN.